Hey, y'all, it's Noxie. Thanks for listening to the Detailed Solutions Podcast. And now, a little bit more about one of our sponsors. Alex, have you heard about the Paint Assassins on Facebook?
No, Noxie. What's that?
I'm glad you asked, you wrinkled little booby. Paint Assassins was started by a dude named Jason Bruno to where detailers can find the camaraderie that they're looking for without any of the negative trolling bullshit like other Facebook groups. Not only that, but they can compete with their work weekly, monthly, or yearly to win prizes. Oh, dude, and they make sick merchandise, so you always have fresh gear to wear.
Whoa.
Anyway, y'all want to check it out? Again, it's Paint Assassins on Facebook or Instagram. Check it out.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell. This is going to be a fun one. I know absolutely nothing about this person. There's no real social media for her other than her TikTok. And she sought me out. Got a phone call one day. Answered the phone call and she said, "Hey, I listen to the podcast. I want to be on it. What do I do? Is there some kind of form? Is there some kind of something or other to fill out?" I was like, "No, just send me your information. Let's take a look at everything." So we've got Valerie. Valerie, introduce yourself. Tell everybody who you are, where you're from, and what do you do?
Hi, thank you. This is a pleasure. It's really nice. Thanks for having me.
I'm Valerie
Sobolewski. I'm from South Jersey, New Jersey. And I own Primal Detailing, and I was mobile. I started mobile in 2016. I retired mobile in 2019 when I got my shop, and I've been full-time here ever since.
Nice. So tell everybody how, when, where did you get into detailing? Because you're fairly young, right? You're 20-something-ish?
I'm 25. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm 25.
Again, no social media for me to stalk. So
I know. None of my family are into cars whatsoever. Okay. I was drawn to them always at a young age, but my parents were like, "Okay, and?"
Right.
And in high school, I would clean my parents' cars a little bit. They're not mechanically inclined whatsoever. None of my friends were at the time. And so I was cleaning my parents' cars, and then I started cleaning friends' cars and things like that. And it kind of snowballed from there. And I graduated high school. My mom is in the culinary business, so she wanted me to go in that route.
Uh-huh.
So I moved out of mom's, and I wanted to move back here where I'm from, the Jersey Shore. So I moved in with my dad, and he said, "What do you want to do? You can do whatever you want." And I said, "I'll go to culinary college, but for fun, I'm going to detail." And he said, "Okay, I know nothing about that, but go ahead." And I graduated culinary college, and I was making money from working in restaurants.
Nice.
And but for fun and on the side, I bought like a vacuum and starter things for detailing. And I was just mobile out of my car, and I made Primal Detailing in 2016.
Nice.
And that was that. That was the beginning.
So just didn't want to cook food, wanted to clean cars more?
So this is a big part of me. I have a form of autism called Asperger's.
Okay.
And I love cooking at home. I love to cook almost more than detailing.
Right.
But the restaurant environment, I was raised in it. Not for me. Very, I wouldn't say toxic. It just is not for me. I don't like being yelled at. I don't like being told what to do. I don't like just being yelled at. I if I'm yelled at, I'll walk away and I won't look back. Gotcha. So that was me. So detailing, it was just more, there was more passion there, and it kind of blossomed. The passion, it blossomed from detailing.
So self-taught, have you done any training? Because I mean, so you do some pretty badass work. I mean, the little bit that
it's the part of the autism that's the obsession.
Okay.
The obsession part. A lot of people with autism obsess over certain things. Sometimes it's short term, like 2 months. Okay. And I do that too. I have some things that I obsess over for 2 months and drop it and never touch it again.
Right.
But with the detailing, I never get tired of it, and I don't think I ever will. And it is definitely an obsession, like to the most extreme sense of it.
I gotcha. So again, self-taught, or did you do any training?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. So I kind of jumped in with the business without knowing anything. I started the name, I was mobile, and when I needed help, I went to a boat detailer. I was there for 6 months.
Okay.
I learned how to do boats. And then, I started the business knowing nothing and kind of seeking out different shops for help, and they were temporary. But in the long run, I've been lone wolf since the beginning.
Nice. So when you started out, was it just, kind of like mobile detailer, and not to knock any of them, but like the car wash, right? Like everybody says detailer, but really they're car washers, right? So were you just going around just doing like vacuum and washes and kind of like basic stuff, or did you kind of jump in the deep end, paint corrections and coatings and all that stuff with,
That's the most amazing part of like my life and my story, is I started from knowing nothing to now I do full corrections every day. And right. I've experienced every level slowly. Like I was, when I first started out, I was meeting mobile detailers that only cared about the quick money, the quick cash. They didn't care about the cars, and they kind of taught me what to do and how to make fast cash.
Right.
And I never really agreed with their method. And then as I learned more, I sought out more different people and with different values that I had.
Right.
For example, the biggest influence in my life, my best friend, Rich Fromman, in 2016, when I moved in with my dad, I didn't know anything. I had a vacuum and my 2-door Solstice, and I looked up detailers around, and he was mobile, and he polished, but he mainly did mobile, just exteriors, interiors, and he did have a polishing option. But I just messaged him and said, hey, I'm like really new to this and I live close to you. Do you have any advice? And he said, come with me. He said, come with me on a job. And I was like, seriously? Nice. And he said, yeah. And then a couple of months, he would have me come to every job, and then I started helping him. And he had his own name and I had mine, and he was teaching me things. And then we became kind of like partners, and we were partners for a year, and we worked every single job together that he had, and he was teaching me the ropes. And then he actually passed away. He had an overdose of heroin, and his family at his funeral gave away everything he owned for his business and said, make us proud. And that was the day that I picked up a polisher in 2017.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So when you got into polishing, like, again, how was that? Because, how did you get into it? Because, for me, I had rotary experience at the car wash. I knew how to run a machine, and then when I got into DAs and everything, we just had him on the other night. Greg Masterson was like my trainer kind of deal, right? Because
I listened to that one, yeah.
Thank you. Because that was 7-8 years ago when he was with Chemical Guys, and when you YouTube videos, like he was pretty much the only one doing anything like that, showing you how to train. So when you picked up that polisher, who was it that trained you, or how did you finally, you know, get to doing it? Or was it just strictly just figuring it out on your own?
In 2017, Rich was pushing me. He put a polisher in my hand and he was like, try it. And we were in my dad's townhouse driveway and we had a car, and he said, just try it. And I said, I hate this. I don't like it. I'm not doing this. And he's like, Val, you got to trust me. You're going to love it. And I'm like, I don't like this. And I have them on my shelf, but right. I think they were just Harbor Freight machines. And I said, I'm not doing it. And then he passed away a month later. And that's when I just started.
Nice.
I just started in my dad's driveway, really.
Nice. So kind of self-taught. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But yeah. I did not like those. So I bought a Mark II 21 Rupes Bigfoot. Uh-huh. And from then it was an obsession from there. The Rupes machines are another obsession for me.
Well, but, I mean, yeah. not to play any favoritism, but the Rupes machine is like butter.
I have multiples of the same machine.
I do too. I take that back. I have one ES, I have two Mark IIs, but they're all 15s. I'm not a big fan of the 20.
When people come to me and say, what's a machine you would recommend? I always tell people, I only have experience with Rupes. I started from the beginning with it. Only buy them. I've heard from a lot of guys, other ones are great, but I'm not throwing money into any others. I know that I can run my machines to the ground. And if I have to, I get my machine serviced every single year, just for like $100, you know, and because I use them every single day.
Right.
I know I'm going to run mine to the ground and it's well worth the money. So I always tell people, I'm not the one to ask. I buy this machine and I run it every day to the ground. So, you know, I always tell people that.
Now, when you service it, are you sending it back to Rupes, or is there somebody local who does that for you?
I send it to Colorado.
Detailers. The entry-level coating game started in 2016 with Anyo Ceramic Coating. With its unique single-layer composite technology, Anyo allowed detailers to achieve greater levels of success faster. But in 2021, Anyo, along with Y-Wax and CC105, received a facelift. Now, under the HyperClean Ceramics line, Y-Wax's Uno, Anyo has become Dos, and CC105 is now Tres. Being a one-year, two-year, or three-year single layer, that's right, detailers, single layer ceramic coating. Pick yours up at the Detail Supply app, and if you mention Detail 15, you will save 15% off your purchase. So go to the Detail Supply app and pick up Uno, Dos, Tres, and use the code DETAIL15 to save 15% off your total package.
I was just asking because I've talked about it a couple of times on the podcast, but there's Auto Magic here of Central Florida. The guy who owns it actually will service all machines, not just Rupes, because he's been doing it for so long. So when my workhorse finally died on me, it was like $200. He replaced like pretty much the whole machine except for all the outer plastics. So, I mean, it was
right.
Everything internal cost me like $200. And people were like, oh, but you could have bought him a new one for like $300. I'm like, no, I couldn't have bought another Mark II for $300. So, I was just curious. I'm always curious when people get their machine service, if they always send them back to Rupes, or if they use.
Yeah, that definitely sealed the deal for me, because I didn't get I call it the dinosaur. My first polisher is the Mark II.
Okay.
I've had that since 2017. I've used that the most. I didn't get it serviced till first time was about 4 years in, and it was beat. It was so beat, and it was kind of like shaking. And I sent it out and they gave me a whole list of everything wrong with it. And it was just $100 and it was a brand new machine.
Nice.
And I was like, I'm set.
Yeah. I mean, I probably could have had it done cheaper through Rupes, but because they're local, he picks it up on a Tuesday and drops it back off the following Tuesday.
Oh, that's awesome.
So like I was only down for a week without it, but I had two other backups. So it didn't really didn't really matter. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I've kind of noticed through your TikTok, again, because that's the only thing that I can get information, is that a lot of the work that you do is long. It takes a long time. And I know, mm-hmm, I kind of asked you a little bit about this on your live the other day, because I was trying to get some information. Is that, and I know you mentioned something about back issues or something like that, so you can only do so much. But when you're working on a car, I think the last video I just watched said like 8 days on that that Chrysler.
Yeah, right? It was a Chrysler, yeah, 300, yeah, right?
8 days. And I know you had mentioned in your live that you did have the R8 at the same time as the Chrysler, so you were bouncing back and forth. Am I correct on that? How long does it typically take you to do a correction, polish and coating or whatever? Just curious.
So I'm still a baby business. So okay. I don't have a dead set goal yet, because I'm still a baby. Just like if you asked me what I do 3 years ago, it would be a lot different than what I do now. But I think what I'm going towards is absolute premium, as close to perfect as you can get work.
Right.
It's kind of like when a customer drops off, they hand me their keys and I say, you'll get it back when it's done. And they don't care what the price is, really. Or they just don't have a...
That's cool, because I've talked to a lot of people who are like that, right? Like they just tell the clients, like, you'll get it back when you get it back kind of deal. And I always think that's pretty amazing, because where I get a lot of clients that, you know, sometimes don't care about pricing, don't care about whatever. But the main thing is that they always ask me is like, how long do you need it for? You know? So I always feel like while they're cool with 3 to 4 days when I'm doing a correction and coating, I don't know what they would say or how they'd feel if I'd be like, you get it back when you get it back.
I guess it's just different people. Of course, there's a different clientele for everybody, but
of course, yeah.
I'm not on social media, because I've worked so hard when I was mobile, I was grinding and pushing my name out so hard.
Right.
And at this point, I got what I wanted. I have my customers and I have enough, and I'm overloaded with them. I don't really need to push advertising. I'd rather save my time, save my energy.
Absolutely.
I mean, I get calls that people were recommended, and they're like, I'll just drop the car off. Whenever you can get to it, you can get to it. I think it's just, I throw what I want to do and what my quality is, and that certain people recognize that or come to me or hear of me. So they just expect that, and they're like, take it, just take it.
No, listen, I think it's awesome to be able to, like, you know, have that where you're like, you know, whatever, you know, get to it when I get to it. You know, there's no rush to like feel like you've got to like kind of rush it. Even sometimes at 3 or 4 days, like sometimes I'm like, man, like I could have really used another day to, like, you know, but I'm one of those guys, as much as I'm going for perfection, at the end of the day, I know that the client isn't going to see half the shit that I see. So sometimes I kind of have to tell myself, like, just let it go. Like that one little, you know, swirl on the rocker panel that you can only see at this angle with the light, like they're never going to see it. So I kind of give up on it. But on the flip side of that, I have had cars for a week and a half or something like that, and I honestly get tired of looking at them after about 3 days. So to get a car
done. That's me, but every single day. And right. if I do have a day off, there's a car sitting here waiting.
Right.
There is no empty shop. There's a car waiting next, like the R8 was sitting here.
Listen, that's a beautiful thing to have, because not everybody has that. I mean, I go times where, you know, well, shit, this week honestly was a super slow week for me. Which was nice. It was nice to have some downtime, but at the same time, it sucks, you know, that I had
days
where either
it's unpredictable, you know.
Yeah, where I wasn't doing anything or was only doing like some little light stuff kind of deal. So, you know, listen, I you know, if you've got a stacked shop, that's awesome. You're doing something right. So that's cool.
But also I don't have a crew.
Right.
I'm doing premium. I got my headlamp on and I'm staring at the same thing for a whole day. I'm not a crew. Of course, if people want what I offer, it's going to take a while. And I don't have five guys working with me. It's me and you know what I mean? So if I had a crew, I'd probably have more calendar time, but I'm just one person. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm the same way, but that's more of choice. You know, I've talked to plenty of people on the podcast to grow, you got to have employees. You know, and for me, I get it, but at the same time, I'm not worried about trying to be a huge shop making tons of money. You know, as long as I can do enough work for me, then I'm good. So, you know, I think what you're doing is right. I mean, as long as it's right, you know, working for you, that's perfect. You don't need a bunch of people. You don't need to have employees. Sorry, there's somebody out in the front.
I'm just going with it. Really, honestly, I just wake up, I have my coffee, and I'm going to the shop every single day. I don't go to work. I go to the shop.
That's another thing. Happy. That's another thing I've noticed, that you're like 7 days a week, I'm at the shop. Do you ever take any time away from the shop? I mean, I sometimes miss the shop when I'm not there, but I've gotten to the point now where Saturdays and Sundays, I can't go there unless it's, you know, something crazy. I mean, I have one client Saturday mornings that I go in, I take care of him, and then that's it. Other than that, like, he's it unless, you know, somebody doesn't have time to bring their car to me during the week, and Saturday is the only time they can come. Like tomorrow I got to do an interior detail for somebody. But do you ever take any time away from the shop?
Well, it goes along with the obsession. I manifested this building. I made this building. Every single thing in here is from my hands and my mind. And my parents are workaholics. No one's ever in the house. So when I wake up, I'm coming to my house. I don't work every single day. I can do errands. It's on my quote unquote days off, I'm running around doing errands, or I'm sitting on the couch watching TikTok or making TikToks, but this is my home. I wake up and I come here.
Right.
And there's always something to do, whether it's vacuum my floor or something. There's always something. And sometimes I'm just like, I'm just going to make TikToks all day or just do nothing. You know what I mean? But I am here every day because it's my space.
No, that's cool. I was just curious.
My happy place. It's my happy place.
I get it.
It's definitely my happy place. Yeah.
I get it. So the TikTok thing, because that was one of the things, I think, when you called me, you know, you're like, oh, I kind of went viral on TikTok. And I'm like, here we go. Another detailer going viral on TikTok. And then I looked, I was like, oh shit. Yeah. She does have a lot of followers and she does have a lot of content. And so how did the TikTok thing come about, and was there anything that you did that like made you blow up to gain a crazy amount of followers? Cause I've noticed some of the detailers now that I watch, because that was the thing, like, right. Like when Marty was telling me in the beginning, like, man, you know, you should really do TikTok. You know, it's this, it's that. And I'm like, man, who's going to want to get on there and watch detailing kind of stuff. And then like, you know, I saw you, I think you've got like 30 something thousand followers or whatever.
Yeah.
I saw some other girl, lady detailer has like 150,000. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? What? Like,
well, I don't take it. The only thing I take 100% serious is face-to-face conversations with my customers.
Right.
And I treat them like family and I treat their cars like my own. But TikTok was not intended to be a like shop from me, buy from me, get a paint correction from me. Oh, it's not that at all. Like,
right.
I've been a lurker on TikTok for 3 years, but I went through last summer, I went through like a breakup and I went into like hermit mode at the shop, and okay. I didn't really leave the shop. I just worked and then went home and went to bed and I was bored. So I was like, ah, screw it. I'll make TikToks. So I started making TikToks and then people were watching, and then it was always shop related. It was just shop shenanigans, you know? And then it was a little bit of what I do, a little bit of my paint correction, but no, I'm not trying to get customers out of it. And if I do, that's cool, but it's more shits and giggles, really.
I got you.
I don't take it serious. It's fun. It's literally, it's so much fun and I love it. And when I see detailers take it really serious, it's just like, okay, like, all right, you do you. I'm going to have fun with it.
Right. Right. No, I mean, listen, I think there's a, you know, Marty's kind of sold me a little bit on that. There's definitely a market for it. I mean, I've seen, you know, the people that are definitely getting jobs off of it. I mean, have you gotten jobs from it, or is it just one of those like whatever kind
of thing? Crazy. I've gotten, that's not my goal. I don't care either way if you do.
Right.
Yeah. That's not my goal. It's just more of, hey, I'm here. This is me. Hello.
Right.
But I've gotten 4 bookings from it. And nice. A lot of friends. I've made a lot of real life friends, and it is insane.
That's
and
cool.
A couple people have walked up to me, but TikTok is wild. TikTok is really wild because
like,
it can
like,
come
that,
close to
you're
home.
You're that girl that never leaves her detail shop. Like you got fans. no, that's pretty cool. So how many videos do you do a day? I mean, like, do you go in and like, I'm gonna make a couple videos a day, I'm gonna do this, or is it just like kind of spur
of
the moment?
It's not serious. No, it's not serious like that. It's mostly humor.
Yeah.
It's either paint correction stuff or humor, but I like to do more humor. I don't plan any of that stuff out. I don't take it that serious.
I'll tell you one of the ones that I really liked. After you had that phone call, and so then I, you know, looked you up and everything like that. One of the ones that I that I really found hilarious was the white chicks one that you did with the big truck.
Big lifted truck.
Yeah. Easy there, white chocolate.
that was one of the tallest trucks I've had. Yeah.
That was a good video. That one was definitely, you know, it almost felt like you put some thought into it and made it
a couple of them. I do, but the ones that get views are the ones you actually don't want to get views, like this. But I'm just happy that I was in a severe car accident a couple of years ago, and I'm happy that I can wake up and go somewhere that I built and I love and do something I want to do every day. Because when I was working, when I first got the shop, I worked at Starbucks, and that wasn't working out because I can't stand in one spot for more than probably a minute before my legs give out. So, it's either I'm self-employed or nothing. So I have my couches here. I have everything. Right. And it's pretty much the only way.
Oh, that's pretty good. So one of the questions I like to ask people, we're starting to get back a little bit to normal now. Things are starting to open back up. Do you have any goals or any plans to do any trainings? If so, what is something that you would want to go train for or learn, maybe to improve your skills upon?
Honestly, I've had this thought for a while. I have a 2,000 square foot warehouse. What's the product? Give it to me and I'll practice myself. You know, if that's possible, I'm not gonna, if it takes like hands-on training, I'm less likely to do it because I pay for this space. I want to be here and I'll learn on my own with myself.
I gotcha.
So, with I don't know. I'm pretty busy. I don't think I'll do any trainings unless it's, I wouldn't say local, just if I really wanted to. Right. If I really wanted to, I would consider it.
Let's say it's not a product. You know, it's not one of these product trainings, because I feel like you, I think they're kind of waste of time or whatever. But is there something that you want to learn to do that you would need somebody to teach you? I mean, whether it's wet sanding, PPF, window 10, you know, whatever, you know, color match, rock chip, you know, that type of stuff that typically you would need somebody to kind of show you. Is there anything that, or are you just kind of cool with what you're doing and, you know, you don't really want, don't feel the need yet to maybe kind of expand upon?
I think everything is I learn myself slowly. Okay. The only thing that people are pushing on me or I'm pushing on myself is wet sanding. And I don't have the time to invest in that. I have my car in the back that needs to be wet sanded. It would be great to practice on, but right. I don't really want to invest in that when I have to invest my energy I currently have on the cars. It's coming. It's the season is here, or this, you know, it's now it's grind time. It's right. You know,
do you have a slow season? I mean, being that, you know, again, you're up north, I'm down south. We don't really have like the winters that you guys get. In fact, we barely get winters at all. So, I mean, do you have like a time when it slows down just in general, or is it pretty much, you know, balls of the wall?
I think I'm really lucky. When I first got the shop in 2019, I got the shop as it, like, thinking I'm going to do interiors and exteriors every day and I'll do polishing on the side. But then I quickly realized with my overhead, that ain't going to cut it. So I spent more and more and more late nights doing polishing and every day and learning on my cars, on customers' cars, to the point where I got really, really good at paint polishing, and I'm doing it every day. And I had to stop doing the interiors and exteriors I was known for. I was pretty known for my interiors. I can make them brand new because I did them for years out in the sun.
Right.
But I had to make this a paint correction shop pretty quickly to pay my bills. And I was pretty dedicated to it and I did like it. So no, gotcha. The first year I was here was I was nervous because it was my first year ever having overhead ever. Right. So on my own. And it was I was a little nervous, but no. Again, I'm one person. I don't have a crew. So one full like correction and ceramic coating could take me a week. So no, my winters are pretty spread out. I'm pretty good, pretty spread out. People keep me busy.
That's not bad. That's a good thing. If you could go back to the beginning and give yourself some advice when you first started, what would you tell yourself in the beginning?
Nothing. I feel like I learned everything
as you needed to.
As I should. Every single piece of character development was perfect.
Hey, that's a good answer.
Every single one.
That's a good answer. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh no. Yeah.
Listen, you're not the first person to have given that answer, you know. And then it makes me go back and think, and I'm like, damn, that's pretty good. Cause you know, like if I would have
Learn those things.
Right, right.
As shitty it was in that moment. I needed to learn that, and then I have it forever, you know, that experience. There's no such thing as mistakes, only lessons.
Exactly. So I know you mentioned the guy who helped you out in the beginning, that had eventually passed away. Do you have other mentors or other people that you look up to in the industry?
I have friends of mine. Linnell Greeny, he's a good friend of mine. I'll go to him for some help on hand, you know, if I need some advice for something I need with a current car I'm working on. There's a couple friends that I can reach out to, but no, I'll just c- kind of learn myself, really.
Right.
I gotcha. Just take it. Yeah.
I gotcha. You're just like totally like a lone wolf. Just
yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if maybe this falls into the training things, but do you ever have any plans to do something like let's say what the SDC is coming up soon or SEMA or MTE, where you could go and at least network and talk to people and learn new chemicals? Do you ever want to do something like that or have, you know, thoughts of doing those things or just keep grinding?
I feel like I'm kind of hunkered down right now in this span of life that my business is in. Like the first, when I was mobile, I was trying to get my name out as hard as possible. And then when I got the shop, I was just trying to keep the bills paid, and I was learning what is this shop going to be.
Right.
And now at this point, I've pretty much cut advertising. And I'm just doing what I love every single day. And the only reason why I wouldn't go to something like that is just because I'm losing work, pretty much.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
It is one of those things that you definitely do have to, you know, kind of have to just be, you know, suck it up and say, okay, I'm just going to lose money. But from personal experiences, I mean, thankfully MTE Orlando is here in the backyard, right? So, and that's like a Friday, Saturday. So most of the times I'm not doing anything those 2 days anyway. So it's easier to go for me. And it definitely is good for the networking to talk to people and see people. You know, the podcast has given me a little bit face-to-face time, so to speak, for a lot of people. But it's always good to kind of put a face to the name. So again, I mean, obviously we know that you're shop all the time kind of deal, but what are your interests or hobbies outside of detailing? I mean, when you do go home or when you do have that time away from the shop, do you do anything else? Do you have any other interests?
I had a lot of them, but I kind of dedicated my life to this craft, like in every way possible.
I got you.
I stopped drinking. I changed my diet. I just love being here. It's the spot. Like it really is. It's my spot. I went to in high school, I went to an kind of like an art school in Philly.
Okay.
So I love to do art, but since I'm gonna be honest, since I got the shop in 2019, if I have free time, I'm gonna buy a product and try it out till the cows come home. So that's just like practicing the rotary or practicing on this or practicing on that. I'm doing something here. But if it's advancing my skills, then that's what 100% what I want to do.
I got you.
And I feel like that's how I've progressed in such a like a fast pace and such a small amount of time, you know.
Right. Yeah. Just because you're 100% going at it all the time. And again, I guess that kind of falls back into like what you said about the obsession, you know, with the autism, is it just keeps you there and going. So here's a Jason Bruno question.
I like him. Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah,
he's cool.
He's all right. he doesn't listen to the podcast anymore, so I can start talking shit about him too.
Do you know where he's from? I don't want to ask him because I think I know his accent.
He's from Boston with his khakis.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, he's from Boston. I mean, he's a Florida boy now. He's here in Tampa. But one of the things that Jason always likes to know is products, right? So, do you have a favorite product? What's your favorite product? And it doesn't necessarily have to be like a specific brand, but like a whether it's a compound, whether it's a polish, whether it's a coating, whatever. He always likes to know what people's favorite products are. What's your go-to or your go-to favorite product kind of deal?
Well, we got the gang. That's the Angel Wax compounds. You know, You got the four there. That's the gang. I can't really do a job without them in some way or form or mix or whatever. I always have them on hand, but yep. I would say Sonax. A couple things from Sonax are great, but my ride or die is Perfect Finish.
Ah, Jason's gonna love that.
Yeah, my Jason always got me Perfect Finish. Yeah,
right. Jason got me turned on to that. He was telling me to use it for the longest time, and I was like, whatever. It's a polish, dude. Whatever. You know, polishes are polishes are polishes. And then he came to help me on that big black ass dually when I broke my wrist and brought his Perfect Finish over. And I was like, it's pretty good, dude. And so now he takes credit all the time that I use Perfect Finish. He's like,
I have a thing for compounds. If I hear about it, I'll buy it. Like, I don't care. I'll buy it. I love playing with, I love having a shelf with, what am I going to play with today? What are we going to do?
And no, cool.
I know a couple guys that are just like, these are my four, I'm using these four, and that's that. Me, I like to have like one, every single car is different. So yeah. I like to have my whole collection and just be like, what are we going to play with today? Kind of like art, you know, who are we going to mix and match and see who's going to play nice today? So
I get it. I'm definitely the, you know, I've got a handful kind of guy because, you know, they're all either a 1200 grit, 1500 grit, 1000.
Yeah, right.
Whatever, you know, I mean, they do diminish differently, the abrasives, the whatever.
Right.
But for the most part, if you pair it with the right pad, it's going to do the same thing. So I'm one of those guys that definitely am very minimalist with my compounds, with my polishes. But when somebody says, hey man, you know, you should really try this, or this is badass, or this is working, I do have a tendency sometimes I will go. I mean, the white Porsche Carrera I did a couple of weeks back, nothing that I had was cutting it the way that had cut on every other Porsche or every other hard paint car that I did. Everybody's been talking about the Ultra Cut. Thank God for me, Corey's only half a mile away. I said, you know, halfway through the car, just taking longer than it really should have to cut the swirls out with clear cut or Scholl's Concept S2 Black. I just said, fuck it. I pulled out my phone. I ordered a bottle of it on CarPro. I walked out, shut the door down, hopped in the car, drove over there, picked it up, drove back, and you know, the thing was money. So I mean, I can see, you know, it is good to have some different stuff, because sometimes the stuff you have doesn't work, or it isn't working efficiently enough, because the stuff I had was working, it just was taking longer than I wanted it to.
So I
could see you know, definitely having all that product. I kind of get like some of the other guys I've talked to about it, you know, where I get afraid that I won't use it fast enough and then it'll end up going bad. Even though most of that stuff has super long.
Don't they have 24 month shelf life?
Some do, some probably have more than that. Some might have less than that, but you know, again, I'm also one of those types of people too, that when I find something I like, then it becomes, you know, everything. So that everything else then only gets used if for some reason that thing doesn't work or is not working
It is the best feeling in the world when I buy a compound and it's better than I would have imagined, and then I run it to the ground.
So that's why I like
to do that. So I'll find one and be like, holy cow, this eliminates those two over there. I have no problem with that. I'll do that.
I'll tell you what, I got real impressed with the new Rupes formulas for their stuff.
I have not tried it yet. I have all their old ones. I have not tried it yet.
So I was never a big fan of the blue, the coarse, because it dusted really, really bad.
Very, very gritty, dusty.
Right, super aggressive. Like, it, no matter what pad you use, it always micro marred. And I'll tell you what, I was one of the very fortunate, well, I don't know how fortunate I was. But I got sent from Rupes, the kits, the trail kits to try out. And I did, I used it on my wife's black Audi, which hard ass paint, cause I wanted to see how it did. And it definitely did not dust. It dusted a little bit, but not as bad as it did before. But I'll be honest, it really finished down nice, like no marker marring. I honestly looked at it because I was just doing the two driver side doors, just kind of playing with it because I had some time. And I was like, man, I could just leave this. Like, it's good. Like, I was putting my handheld on it and was like, this is really good. But I wanted to play with the whole system. So I actually did the yellow step down, and then even went further and did the fine step down just cause. I mean, sometimes things surprise me. I guess it's a good thing to try a little bit new.
Yeah. You could give me black cars for the rest of my life and I'll be happy. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. Not me.
Me, I got this right here, this Audi right here is black. I mean, my Impala is black, but that Chrysler was black. I can do black all day. If you can get the hardest color, you can kind of get anything, but listen, I hate silver. I hate silver.
Silver's hard. Silver's harder than white, I think. Black is amazing when it's done right.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes I'm just like, not today, Satan, you know?
It's scary. It can be, you don't feel like it and want to go home. 1,000%.
Exactly. Yep.
Oh, yeah. But silver drives me nuts. And when I'm done doing silver, I'll go look at the toilet seat and see swirls and it shines in my face and I'm just over it.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned on one of the other podcasts, I feel like I see swirls in everything now. And it bothers me because, you know, like I'm like the light will shine over it and I'll see something and I kind of go back to that area and then I don't see it. And then I think I'm seeing things and silver and white, even more so. Silver seems to hide, swirls a lot more.
I would recommend for someone to buy a silver car, but don't bring it to me. Don't bring it to me to fix, please. I'm begging. But there's a certain type of white. I don't know what it's called, but there's like a really pure white on what kind of truck was it? I think it was a Sierra I did, but that white hurt too.
Yeah.
That was rough. That hurt my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you pull them out to do sun checks. That's the worst. All right. So we made it 45 minutes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw out the this or that questions to you. You're a Jersey girl.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
God.
So I'm going to give you the Jersey questions.
Okay.
Except I'm going to change one of them up for you.
All right. Okay, sweet.
Yeah. So let's rock and roll with this. So interiors or exteriors?
Interiors.
Okay. I think we answered this question earlier, but Rupes or Flex?
Rupes. All day.
Okay. This question I have to come back to. Windows or cleaning windows or washing and folding towels?
Oh, washing and folding towels, because that's actually relaxing.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't stand that one. I can't stand either one of them, actually. I hate doing windows.
Windows are for me are absolutely dreaded, you know, because I don't want to be cleaning the back window at all. So
here's a little pro tip. Just don't do it.
No, people vape and people smoke and they get those dots, you know?
That's
all right, all right, all yeah. right.
Bon Jovi or Springsteen?
I don't listen to either. I'm 25.
Either of them.
No, sorry.
I thought you came out of the womb like just
no, this is Los Santos Customs, this shop. That's gotcha. I don't listen to that.
Gotcha. All right. Pauly D or Ronnie?
That's a New York question. That's not a Jersey question.
Yes, it is. They're from the Jersey Shore.
I mean, their show is not them, but whatever. I would say, who were the two again?
Fuck, I don't know. hang on. Pauly D or Ronnie? Pauly D or Ronnie? Or Vinny or Mike? Whatever. We'll do this, that, or this.
Ronnie. All
right.
Yeah.
I couldn't throw Snooki or Jay Wild at you. I tried to switch it up.
All right.
Sun shots or lighted shop shots?
Me personally, the LEDs in the shop.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like the lighted shop shots too.
Both are freaky. Both can show you different things. Both can freak you out.
It can. It gives the car more of a glossier look. The sun kind of gives it a really nice ooh ah wow kind of deal. Yeah. So mobile or shop?
Shop 1000%.
Okay. Left Twix or right Twix?
Neither. I don't eat candy. I'm sorry.
You don't have to. You don't have to pick one. You don't have to pick one.
Yeah, nah, neither.
Wax or ceramic?
Ceramic. I love it.
Okay. And then the last and most important question. Are you
Team Alex, let's hear it,
or Team Noxie? Tell me you don't even know who that redheaded bitch is, please.
All right, Alex. Alex.
No, that's fine. If you know Noxie and you have a crush on him like I do, that's fine too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll just say you.
No, that's fine. All right, Val. So, you know, I would ask you the questions of where does everybody find you, but you're nowhere except for TikTok. So
Throw out your TikTok.
Or throw out your Instagram or your Facebook. Whatever you have.
That's fine. Maybe. I might go back to advertising. I might, but I'm very happy where I am at this point. So my TikTok is SOBS1111 Primal Detailing is my Instagram, and my personal Facebook is Valerie SOBO.
Okay. So I know you said you might go back to advertising and that's kind of
posting.
And that's why you don't really have the, but I mean, do you, you said you had a personal Facebook, but is it still just mostly business related, or do you actually post?
Oh no. There's Primal Detail. There's a Primal Detailing Facebook. I was just throwing the name.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I didn't know. Cause like some people, some people have the personal stuff, but they don't want to put it out there. And then, so they only do the business side of it. So I just didn't know if it was a personal thing that you didn't want to.
Oh no, I have all the business accounts, and then I have mine, Valerie Sobo.
I gotcha.
That's my name. Yeah.
I gotcha. Well, listen, I appreciate you for reaching out to me. Somewhat stalkerish. We'll leave that for everybody to decide.
Do you not want me to listen to you and have others listen
to
you?
Listen. I love when people listen to me.
Yeah.
It was just crazy that you figured out my phone number and called me, although it's probably not that hard.
I Googled it.
Yeah. Don't tell everybody. I'll have to cut this part out. Don't tell everybody how to find my phone number now, because then I'll have everybody calling me. I think it was really cool. I don't know if you could tell when we were talking, because I was thinking like, oh, okay, here comes somebody,
I looked up Detail Solutions. That's literally it.
No. I was thinking like, oh, well, here's somebody calling, probably try to find some, ask questions, get some pricing, whatever. And then you're like, hey, I listen to the podcast. And I was like, cut me completely off guard. So no. I think it was awesome. I think it was cool that you reached out. Because sometimes, I try to put the guest list together. I try to reach out to people and say, hey, I really would like to have you on. And some of them are like, yeah, no problem. Usually everybody is yeah, no problem. But I have had a couple of people kind of flake on me.
That's unfortunate. I'm sorry.
So it's always good to have somebody who does want to be on or has interest be on that, you know, I say, well, okay, cool. I'll keep you in mind for like, you know, whenever. So again, the situation, you know, arose where actually the 10th person that I had, or the 9th person that I had for this season, he was on the fence because he is one of those people that is super in demand and super ridiculous busy. And everything he does is a red car that starts with an F on it.
Right.
So in the beginning, he kind of told me he wasn't sure if he'd be able to make it or not. So when he kind of finally said, look, I can't do it, I ended up with a space to fill. And I was like, well, shit, Valerie just called me not too long ago. Let's throw her in the mix.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So no, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you telling your story. I hope, you know, everybody listening, you know, get something out of it, just like all the other episodes. You know, maybe somebody will reach out to you and, you know, make some more friends off of this.
I'm up for anything.
Yeah. So, don't hang out too long at the shop. It's 9 o'clock almost. Go home. Don't sleep on your couch
on a Friday night. Yeah,
I know, right? You should be out having some fun, partying, whatever.
I have fun here. I'll go.
There you go. So listen, so everybody, you know, reach out to Val. If you want to talk to her, if you want to find out about her, definitely follow her TikTok. She definitely does some really cool stuff. It's one of my kind of favorite things when she pops up to see some of her work. She does some really badass work.
Oh, thank you.
And again, you guys probably get tired of me saying it, but we are Detail Solutions Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Alex Russell CDSV on Facebook, Alex Russell F5150 on Instagram, and I am Alex Russell 5150 on TikTok, but I don't post any cool shit yet, so there's that. All right, Valerie, well, have a good night. I don't have anything else to say to you. Just good night.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for being on. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.